This is our fourth message on balancing the Christian life. And let me just say this, folks. It's been an interesting series because it seems like we've had a guest every second week. And so it's been an eight-week series right now, but we've only preached four messages. The first message we preached, and I would advise you young people, if you could, our teenagers, especially those that were at camp, to just if you could, zone in on this message tonight, because if you can get this down, it will help you the rest of your life. It really will. So we talked about the key to balance, and we talked about pressures and problems and the principle and the purpose, and the main purpose and the key to balance is this: living your life for the purpose for which you were created, and that is to bring glory to God. That is our purpose, amen. It's not just to win souls, though I think we ought to win souls, amen. Winning souls brings glory, but it's to bring glory to God with every fiber of our being. Second message, we looked at the importance of a proper appraisal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust is. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we talked about valuing what God values. And we looked at the beginning of balance. And that's, of course, found in God's Word. We looked at the hindering of balance and the maintaining of balance. And it takes T-I-M-E time to maintain balance in our lives. Our last message, we looked at prioritizing by principle. And God's desire for balance in our life. You know, God, it's not God's desire that we would be imbalanced and off in our lives. Not at all. Amen. God said, Jesus, when He was here in John chapter 10, said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So God desires for us to live a balanced life. Then we not only looked at the desire, but we looked at the decisions that lead to balance. And young people, if I could give you a verse, it would be Daniel 1:8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. You see, you've got to know what you're going to do before the temptation comes. Amen? Amen? You've got to let the Word of God make your decision for you. Amen? And so we looked at the desire and the decision. Then we looked at some detours that'll keep us from balance. Fear. Self. Idolatry, covetousness. And then we looked at two demands that produce balance. First of all, you're going to have to learn the Scriptures. And we gave a few statements about the Bible. The Scriptures, God's commands never conflict. You know, God has called me to be a pastor. But a long time ago, He called me to be a husband. In between the time He called me to be a pastor and He called me to be a husband, He called me to be a father. Do you know those never conflict? I'm supposed to be all of those things. Amen. God's call. So the God's commands never conflict. God's commands can be obeyed. God would have asked you to do something if you couldn't do it. Amen. So God's command can be obeyed. God's commands are not suggestions. God doesn't operate a buffet where we take what we want and leave what we don't. They're commands. Yesterday I had to, for the first time in a long time, I had to give my oldest boy, Eric, a timeout. You know we're not talking about timeouts. I had to give him a timeout. And Brother Lawley, you know I had to give it to him? Because I told him to do something and he didn't do it. He dilly-dallied and he thought Daddy was playing around. And I want him to know when Daddy commands something, he expects it to be done. You know what? Daddy's commanded us a lot. And he expects it to be done. They're not suggestions, they're commands. They're not the 10 suggestions. They're the 10 commandments. Amen. And so God's commands are not suggestions. They can be obeyed. They never conflict. And they work together. As you get in God's Word and you become obedient to God's Word, doing that strengthens your walk with God. It's incredible how that happens. But we talked about the demands that produce balance. Learn the Scriptures. And then secondly, and we didn't get to stay here long, but we said live by a schedule. Live by a schedule. The reason why a lot of us don't get more done for the Lord is because we don't plan to. A failure to plan is a plan to fail. Amen. Have time. You say, bless God, at 7 o'clock every morning, I get up and I turn the coffee pot on. Hallelujah. Bless God for the Keurigs. Amen. One cup right away. Amen. And I'm going to sit down with my Bible and I'm going to have some fellowship with my Lord. Live by a schedule. Have to plan time for your family. Plan time for your wife. Amen. Plan time to be in God's house. Going to talk about all that tonight. Principles to live by. Look, if you would, at our text. Proverbs chapter 3. And look at that beautiful sunbeam coming through. Some of you are like, yeah, it's great, Pastor. Amen. Hang on. Yeah, it's beautiful. Amen. And it says there in verses 1, 3, and 5. I'm not going to move, brother. That's okay. Verses 1, 3, and 5. Look at them. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Look at verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In these verses, we see the principles of God. This father, Solomon, is saying to his son, listen, the word of God is important. Don't forget it. Matter of fact, not only don't forget it, bind it to yourself. And then he says, tells him to don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on the understanding of the Word of God. The principles of the Word of God. And then it's so neat in this chapter, verses 2, 4, and 6. It says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Verse 4. Says, so shalt thou find favor, good understanding in the sight of God and men. And verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path. We not only see the principles of God, but the results of following the principles of God. Length of days, long. Hey, young people, want to live a long life? Yeah. Amen. I think I'm back in junior church. Amen. By the way, I appreciate that. Amen. Tells me that young lady's listening. Listen, live by the principles of the Word of God. Live by the principles of the Word of God. Verse number 4 says, so shalt thou find favor in good understanding in the sight of God and man. You know, all of us have had times in our jobs where people didn't appreciate our Christian testimony so much. But I'll tell you what comes along with it. According to this verse and according to many a Christian, the respect, when they have a serious problem, they come to you. That's right. Because it says right here, when you obey the Word of God, that you'll find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And then in verse 6, it tells us that when we acknowledge Him, when we obey Him in all our ways, that He directs our paths. We're always blessed when we learn, when we apply, when we yield to, when we obey the principles of the Word of God. We're always blessed. Let's look, if we could, at some principles to live by. And really what they are is they're covering the four major areas of our life. And how, if we could go back to the previous message to live by a schedule, can I tell you this? That in your life and in your walk with God, God wants you to make time for all of these things. And I said, make time. Make time, amen. You have to make time. It may cost you an hour or two next to the television set. Somebody say amen. It may cost you some social media time. But I'll tell you what, if you'll take these areas, there are principles to live by. Number one, principles for our walk with God. I've got six things here. First of all, principles. God wants us to read and study His Word. God wants us to read and study His Word. He tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, and by the way, I had such a great time with Pastor Shaw. I looked in my Bible the other day, and Pastor Shaw had preached out of that text, and he preached a message called, Be a Baby. And I thought, well, that doesn't say... Well, then, you know what it says there? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. God commands us to read. He said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You remember in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, God said of the church at Berea that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Ladies and gentlemen, God has commanded us to read our Bibles. And listen to me. Read it every day. Read it every day. You say, Pastor, I'm a slow reader. And listen, you're looking at one of the slowest readers you'll ever meet in your life. But I'm telling you this, God said this, it's important. For it is the part of our Christian life from which everything else flows. We've got to read and study the Word of God. That's a principle. You got to make time. Listen, time is not going to show up. You have to make time. Yeah. Make time. I don't care if it's at dinner, if it's at breakfast, if it's before you go to bed. Whenever you do, I remember my wife when my children were very small. Luke was just born. We had just gotten here. Eric was 18 months old. And I remember she'd put Eric in his little bouncer, amen. And he'd be sitting there in the bouncer and Luke be in the chair just going, And she would be sitting there, she'd have a cup of coffee and both babies in the morning, and there she was with her Bible. Listen, I know some of you moms, man, you do have the toughest job in the world. It's the best job, it's the most rewarding job, but it just never ends. Man's work is sun to sun, but mother's work is never done. But I'll tell you what, ma'am, you want to be the mom that God wants you to be, you've got to make time for God's Word. Got to make time. So, principles for our walk with God. Read and study God's Word. Another principle is to pray. Pray. You've got to make time for prayer. By the way, it doesn't have to be an hour. It can be as you go. And by the way, that's some of the best praying, amen. Especially if you're on the highway in Jackson, Michigan, you need to be praying, amen. Praying as you go, amen. If you're in Myers, and God help you, if you're in Walmart, you definitely need to pray, amen. But pray. God told us to pray without ceasing. My little boy came home today, Eric, and I said, what'd you learn today? He said, Daddy, we learned about a man who came from a far journey and he knocked on his friend's door at midnight and he said, I need some bread. And the man said, I'm asleep. My children are asleep. My wife is asleep. And we're all asleep. And no. And he kept knocking and kept knocking. I said, and Eric, what was the parable about? And he said, praying. To me, it sounds like God wants us to make time for prayer. We have to make time. It's a principle to live by. We need to read and study the God's Word. We need to pray. We need to be part of the local church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says, and they that gladly received His Word were baptized, and there were the same day added unto them, that's the church, about 3,000 souls. Listen, I'm so glad for the Wiesners, Mrs. Wiesner, and Brother Terry, and Leslie, and Christine joining today, and others that have been joining. Listen, you ought to be part of a local church. What am I telling you for? It's Sunday night, amen. I know you're part of the church. But listen, let me give you another principle to live by. We ought to be faithful to attend church. God's going to call us on the carpet as to our faithfulness in these areas. I know you're the Sunday night crowd. By the way, praise God, our Sunday night crowd is our Wednesday night crowd. Amen. You folks are always here. But I promise you, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to want to come. It's a principle. I appreciate that so much. The Bible says that let us consider one another. You know what? If you don't want to come for you, come for somebody else. Somebody else needs you here. They look and they see when you're not here. And they first of all, they think they must be sick. By the way, that means you're faithful. If they think you must be sick. But there's other people, oh boy, they just don't show up. They just don't make it. Listen, it's a principle. God wants us to be faithful to attend church. God wants us to be involved in the work of the church. And in case you don't know, let me just tell you what the work of our church is. Reaching boys and girls and men and women for Jesus Christ. Amen. with the God. That is the work of the church. God wants you to be involved in that some way, somehow. Carry gospel tracts. Amen. Listen, be a witness on the job. That Sunday school class, and I know we have some just tremendous Sunday school teachers. You pray for your class, and I appreciate that, Brother Jim. You're absolutely right. Young people keep coming back on the bus because their teachers care about them.
Amen.
Absolutely right. Listen, we ought to be part of the work of the church. And number six, a principle for our walk with God is to be a witness for Christ. Read and study God's Word. Pray. Be part of the local church. Be faithful to attend church. Be involved in the work of the church. And be a witness for Christ. God wants us to make time for all of these things. They're principles to live by. Let us not only give principles for our walk with God, but principles for our family. Principles for our family. First of all, let me start off with husbands and wives, marriage, principles for marriage. By the way, not by social norms, but by this book.
Yep. Amen.
Right. Amen. Yep. I don't make any apology for every time I perform a wedding to saying to the fella, do you promise to love, honor, and cherish your wife? If they don't say I do, I punch them right in the nose. Amen. But then I say to the wife, do you promise to love, honor, and obey? Oh, I don't like that. That's all right. God wrote it. You can take it up with Him. Amen. You're supposed to, and listen, this is what, husband, you're supposed to lead in love. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 declares you to be the head of your home. And then in verse 25, it says that you're to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And then in verse 33, it tells you to cherish your wife as yourself. Sir, you lead that woman in love and she will follow you to the ends of the earth. Amen? But there's a lot of people that lead by lording. Bless God, woman, you do what I say because I'm the man. Well, that may work if she's spiritual. But she may hit you in the head with a skillet. Amen? Why don't you wrap your arms around her, sir? Tell her you love her and appreciate all that she does for you. And she'll follow you anywhere. Husbands, lead in love. Talking about principles for our family. Wives, submit and reverence your husband. Two biggest problems in marriage. The two problems when people come to me, they're having marriage problems, are this. The wife does not feel loved and the husband does not feel reverenced. I'll go 95-5 on that, Brother Leonard, that those are the main problems in just about every marriage where there's problems. Ma'am, obey that man. Submit to him. Reverence him. Make sure he knows he's appreciated. Amen. So, principles for our family and marriage. Husbands, lead in love. Wives, submit and reverence your husband. Children. Children. Children are to be trained. Children are to be trained. Train up a child in the way he should go. Listen, it's not a three-year-old's fault. He continually does the wrong thing and then he turns 10 and he's still doing it. Somebody should be training that child. Children, not only to be trained, and by the way, that means to teach what is right. That word train there, in Hebrew or in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it means to teach what is right. But they not only need to be trained, praise God for this, they need to be nurtured. I'm kidding about my mom and my wife. They have killed more plants than anyone I've ever known. They buy these plants at the beginning of the season, and about 3 weeks later, I think, you know, there's some godly grandmother that has this just tons of these plants everywhere. I wish you could do that with dogs, amen. It's just not working out, amen. But moving right along, amen. And listen, I'm kidding about that, obviously. You know I'm kidding. Amen. You know what honestly plants need? They need nurture. They need nurture. Saplings, you know, you see a sapling, it needs to be nurtured, needs to be watered, needs to be cared for. Listen, our kids, they need nurture. Yeah. I think about, Brother Lawley, I think about how wicked this world is getting. To be Jonathan and Caitlin's age in this wicked world, you know what they need, and I know they have it. I'm not picking on Brother Ken and Christine. You guys do nurture those children. And how important it is, folks. Hey, by the way, that applies to us with bus kids as they come in. Let us do some nurturing. Let us do some training. Amen. You know what else? And boy, this is one of the problems today. Children not only need to be nurtured and trained, they need to be corrected. They need to be corrected. Corrected. Amen. And by the way, when they're yours, it can be physical. When they're not, don't be physical. Amen. But the Bible talks about the foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Amen. Talking about that training, correction. You know what else they need to be? They need to be instructed. They need to be instructed. I'm glad for this young man right here, as Miss Mary said, that baby. Amen. I'm glad for this young man, how he instructs. I'm glad for every one of our Sunday school teachers that instructs our children. I'm glad for Mr. and Mrs. Boston that instruct our children. But listen, husbands, wives, parents, that is your duty. Praise God. I think our church is a wonderful supplement. But we're not a substitute for you instructing your children. We're a supplement. So God needs us to make time for our children, to train them, to nurture them, to correct them, to instruct them. God needs us to make time one for another in marriage, husbands and wives. Principles for our family, principles for our walk with God, principles for our work. Let me just give you three. Wherever you are, whatever you do for a living, first of all, God ordained work. God ordained work. Before the fall, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 says, He gave Adam a garden and He said to till it, to take care of it. But then, of course, the fall happened. In chapter 3, verse 19 of Genesis, He said, In the sweat of thy brow shall thou work. You'll work because of the sweat of thy face. You'll have to till the ground because it's cursed now. So God ordained work. By the way, God ordered work. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, If any provide not for his own house, he's worse than an infidel. Amen? God ordered. I remember dear Brother Horsch telling me years ago in the early 70s how he got laid off from work. He had no job. And his daughter Kay, I think, had just gone to Bob Jones College. And he didn't have any work. And you know what he did? He put a ladder on his station wagon and he walked around knocking doors and saying, Do you need your house painted? Do you need your house painted? You know why he did that? Because he had a family to provide for. He didn't think it was President Nixon's job to provide for his family. And you could go on and on and on and on. Listen, God not only ordained work, God ordered work. God orders whatever you may be at a computer all day. I know that's work, amen. God ordered us to work. And you know what? Here's probably the most important part. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to show you this. Principles for our walk with God. Read, study God's Word, pray, be part of the church, be faithful to attend church, be involved in the work of the church, be a witness for Christ. Principles for our family, marriage, husband, lead in love, wife, submit in reverence. Children are to be trained, nurtured, corrected, instructed. Principles for our work, God ordained work, God ordered work. We must do our work for God. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 5. What a verse. These are tremendous verses. I can't stand my boss. Read these verses with me. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven is in heaven, neither is there respect from persons with him. Now listen, folks. we're supposed to do our work for God. I had the privilege of working at a place called AAA Aircraft before I came here. I worked there for 7 years, and it was a great job. I was good at it. It was the same exact job that I did before I went to Bible college. I came back after 4 years of college and worked for the competitor of the company I worked for that went out of business, by the way, while I was in Bible college. And then I came back and worked for the competitor for about $4 more an hour. That's just how good God is, amen? And I remember working, and there was times where I was at odds with people that were above me. How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about? I knew how to do the job. I knew how to get things done. I remember when they hired me in and they asked me, they said, well, tell us a little bit about yourself. I said, well, I told them who I was and what I could do. And I started rattling off part numbers. It's really sick the way the mind is sometimes. It's like a steel trap. Part numbers that we had worked on. I said, 305, 3669, it's a fracture critical tie rod. It goes in the hot section of the engine, and there's 12 in each set, and they're serialized, and started going, and it's AMS 5731 material. It's AS 7477 spec. It's got to have an FPI, AMS 2645, and you know, they're sitting there like this. And they looked at each other and said, what should I pay you? And I'd never been asked that before on the job interview. And I said this, I said, I'll do a good job for you, but just know this, though I work for you, I work for somebody more important than you. I'm a preacher. I work for him while I'm here. And because I work for him, I'll work harder for you. That's what these verses tell us, amen? That's what these verses tell us. So in this principle of work, God ordained work, God ordered work, and we must do our work for God. God's the one that's going to reward your work. Whether your boss takes notice or not, God takes notice, amen? Let me give you the last thing tonight. Principles for our walk with God, principles for our family, principles for our work, principles for ourself. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We read these verses this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Very familiar verses. First Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Teenagers, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. That body that you have is God's. Be careful what you do with it. Be careful with what you put into it. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Four principles for caring for ourselves. There's four basic areas where we need to care for ourselves. Number one, we need to care for ourselves physically. Physically. And that means proper diet and proper exercise. Now, I realize everybody just went to prayer as soon as I said proper diet. Nobody wanted to look at me. Amen. Listen, it's okay to have ice cream. Praise God. Thank you for that. Amen. Thank you, Linda. Amen. I'm with you. It's okay. We're going to have popcorn tonight. That's okay. But you can't live on ice cream. You need to take care of yourself. This is God's temple. Amen? Amen. Need to exercise. I remember saying one time to another preacher, I said, we were talking about exercising. And I enjoy exercise. I enjoy playing ball and getting out and doing those things. But I remember saying, well, the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. And this preacher says, but it does profit. Amen? We're to care for ourselves physically. That's a principle. Take a walk. By the way, fellas, you want to multitask, take a walk with your wife. Come on now. You can do two with one. Take your kids with you. You're killing three birds with one stone. Amen? So physically, we're to care for ourselves. Mentally. I read one of the most tremendous quotes 2 days ago in the Glow in the Dark Teen Devotional. I posted it. Brother Randall, you mentioned it. And it talked about when Job said he cursed the day of his birth. And he was just overwhelmed with negativity. You know what, mentally? You know what we need to do? You're in 1 Corinthians there. Go over to Philippians chapter 4. And I'll tell you something. Mentally, we need to fill our mind with good things. Oh, I'm not talking about Norman Vincent Peale and the power of positive thinking. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about the promises of this book. It says there in Philippians 4:8, hey, young people, you want to change your thinking? Right here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. By the way, that'll eliminate 95% of the television. You know what I'm to do? I'm to fill my mind with good things. First of all, this book right here.
Amen.
Get in this book every day. Young people, listen, I'm focusing on the teens tonight, but it's for all of us, amen. But teenagers, you made decisions this week. Here's a great, great principle. Read a proverb a day.
Amen.
Read a proverb. Just pick the day. Today is August 18th. Read Proverbs 18. There's so many wonderful principles that we can fill our mind mentally. And then I appreciated this. Books that challenge us. I appreciate Brother Leonard. I listened to your message on Wednesday night, and it was great. It really was great. And you said that as well, Brother Tim. Get some books that'll help you and challenge you in your life. Get some books that'll encourage you. You're going through a storm? There's a book in our bookstore called Rainbows for God's Children in Storms. What a blessing. Amen. Get some books that'll challenge you with your character and your organization and inspire you. Listen, we're to care for ourselves physically. We're to care for ourselves mentally. We're to care for ourselves emotionally. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath not rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down. You control your emotions. Don't let your emotions control you. Well, I just tell people what I think. You better be glad I don't. Why? Because we're to control ourselves emotionally. Oh, by the way, there'll be times when your emotions get away from you. I know, Brother Horace, you mentioned just grieving. Grieving since Miss Nancy died. That's okay, and all God's people said. Part of grieving, letting those emotions roll. I'm talking about where we feel we need to let everybody know what was going on. Listen, you don't have to do that. You can control. You can rule your spirit. You can rule it. Emotionally, we're to care for ourselves. Mentally, physically. And then lastly, principles for ourselves is we're to care for ourselves spiritually. And again, goes right back to physically. We need proper diet and exercise. Proper diet right here. Proper exercise is us living out the Word of God. We need proper fellowship spiritually. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You need to get around people that are going to encourage us in the faith. And listen to me, your lost friends that are out partying on Friday nights, they're not the ones that are going to do it. Have proper fellowship. Get around God's people.
Amen.
Have people over. Amen. Have fellowships like we're going to have here in just a moment. You know what else we need? Spiritually, we need proper influences. We need proper influences in our life. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Proper influence. By the way, use your influence for God. Senior saint, you have so much influence. You could pull that young person aside and say, can we have a cup of coffee? You say, oh, they don't want my advice. They might need it, though. They might need it. I mean, use your influence. Get around the proper influence. Can I say this spiritually? The last principle, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, proper diet and exercise, proper fellowship, proper influences, proper music. Listen to me, young people. Proper music. Listen to me, Loomis Park Baptist Church. Proper music. You want to set the tone for your whole day? Put the right kind of music on in the morning. I've got a, Pastor Donald knows, I've got a playlist on my computer in there. It's called Quiet Music. And I look at the side, and those of you that know computers and you know iTunes and all that, it's got, I'm looking at all these songs, and they got about 460 plays next to them. That means I've listened to those songs 460 times. Because I just press the play button as I'm doing my office work, and I have the right kind of music on. You know what that's doing? That's ministering to me spiritually. It's not the fleshly kind. The right kind of music spiritually. What are principles? Principles to live by. There's principles for our walk with God. There's principles for our family. There's principles for our work. And there's principles for ourselves. May God help us to live by principle. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. The lady